to think that before too long, each and every one of us will pass from this side of eternity and to face judgment. And as we talked about this morning, living with confidence, confident enough to say that by the mercy of God and by all your efforts that you can muster up, you've done everything that's pleasing to God, and to know that you've traveled that last mile. There'll be a great family reunion on the other side, and I want to be part of that great reunion. And my hope and desire is as you live your life, that you'll long for that as well. Some time ago, I presented this lesson in quite a bit of a different way, and I want to come back and revisit this thought. This will be something that I'll do usually every end of the year. Coincidence didn't have me do that, but I think it fits out better now as we're working with our theme, and as Brother Todd started out this year and talking about going back and revisiting the spiritual plan that you've set for yourselves. If you're like me, when you do that, you often find that you can be doing better in certain areas. Maybe you've excelled in areas where you didn't think you were going to excel in. But here you are, you're here and now, and maybe it's a good thing that we're able to go back and think about where you're at spiritually right now. And to think back about some of those things that you set for yourself as a growth plan at the beginning of this year. I hope that a lesson like this will make you go back and refresh your zeal to fulfilling those things that you put before yourselves, those goals that you've set, and understanding that maybe for some of us, we're a lot closer to that last mile of the way than we realize. Maybe I'm closer. We don't know, do we? But we do know that God tells us to use the time that we have here and now to give Him the glory and the praise that He's so richly deserving of. As we look in this text in the book of Luke and in chapter 13, there's a parable that's spoken to us. And one of the things we have to understand when we speak about a parable, which probably most of us already understand, there's a physical analogy given, but there's a spiritual emphasis to it. There's a greater message than just the physical. And so we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about a vineyard and how important it was back in this day and time. But we're going to talk about the spiritual side of the application of this parable here. I might just jump ahead and just give maybe the end result of this lesson. If we're not doing what God expects us to do, as we talked about this morning, if we're not loving the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, we're falling short of God's expectations for us. Now, one of the delights in that statement, at first we might think, well, that's pretty hard. I've got to give Him all. I've got to do all my strength. That seems like an awful lot. But one of the blessings in that statement is, He expects me, Neil Tremblett, to give my all. Now, my all might not be as much as Brother Todd's, but my all is what God expects of me. He doesn't ask me to do more than what I'm capable. He doesn't expect less out of me than I'm capable either. He expects me on an individual basis, you on an individual basis, to give Him your all and to grow and to mature and to provide fruit. In this illustration, this parable, we see that in this vineyard, there's a vine that's not producing. It's sucking the nutrients out of the ground. It's doing all the things that it should do as far as growing, but there's no fruit that it's happening. This vine is not producing its fruit. And so the master comes along and he looks at this vine and he says, "Cut it down. It's not bearing as it ought to." And as Brother Kevin talked about last Sunday night about the patience of the Lord, here the pleading is, give the vine one more year. And then if it doesn't produce, then we cut it down. That's agreed upon. Do I have to go in and explain the spiritual side of that? How much time do you have to live? How much life do you still have left in your body? You see, the sobering reality of a lesson like this is, I don't know if I have a year. It might be tomorrow. It might be next week. It might be a year. It might be 5 years. It might be 25 years from now. The emphasis is not what we're going to do in this next year, but what you will do in the here and now. If you're allowed to live longer than a year, great, wonderful. Use it to bring glory and honor to God. But understand the opposite. There'll come a time where the vine will be removed, where our life will leave this body. And everything that we've done is then set in stone. Is there anything in your life that you need to change? Do it. Don't wait. Don't take advantage or look down lightly on the patience of the Lord. I appreciate that lesson. It's what spawned me into getting this lesson back out and dusting it off and changing some of the thoughts for it in hopes that we understand that, yes, the Lord is patient, but His patience will run out. So what about your life? Think about that in light of this parable this evening. God expects our life to bear much fruit. This is not the only text. I'm going to turn to one other one, and I would like to tell you that these are the only two that address this concept and this thought, but it's not. It's expected all throughout Scripture. God expects much out of His children. Just like I expect much out of my children. In John chapter 5, and in verse 8, it says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple." Here maybe the wording's a little stronger. It's not just that we bear fruit, but that we bear much fruit. Think about how much God has blessed you. Think about living in Moldova right now. Or as just recently, as I sat with Chris and some other men that were doing some evangelistic efforts across seas and talking about the Czech Republic and some of these other different places where men have to travel, families have to travel miles and miles and miles to hear the gospel preached. Let me ask you a question. How many miles did you travel to the building here this evening? How many miles do we have to travel to the next local congregation to hear the gospel preached? How many of us are able to just open scriptures and study in our own language what God expects of us? You see, there are many people that don't have these advantages. God expects much out of His faithful. Just like in this parable, the owner expected fruit. And because fruit wasn't being produced, he was ready to remove that vine from the ground, from the nutrients which supplied life. What's interesting, I believe I mentioned this last time we talked about this, in Luke chapter 13, let's go back there. John 15 really teaches us this valuable lesson about growing and producing much fruit. But in the book of Luke, in a chapter 13, let's go back to our text. One of the things that I believe I presented last time we talked about this, how this tree, this vine was purposefully planted. If you come over at my house, you'll find the Evans so graciously came over last year and we planted, I don't know, 180 trees in my backyard. And we went back and, well, I've went back and I've looked, and at first I thought there was about 80% that survived. It's more like 50%. But those trees have flags beside them. Why do they have flags beside them? Why do you think that they have flags beside them? Well, I'll tell you so you don't have to wonder. I mow back there. And when you have a little tree this big and grass that's this big, what will happen to that tree? I'll run it over. Right? But that tree was purposefully planted in its place. And I want to know where that tree is planted. And so there are flags that are there. I want us to understand this vineyard. In this vineyard, the ground has been cultivated. The nutrients are in the soil, and this vine was purposefully planted in this vineyard with the expectation of receiving fruit from it. Now, that's a powerful illustration
for us. In Luke chapter 13, in verse 6, in the beginning part of that verse, it says this, "And also he spoke a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit from it, and none was found." You notice that? This wasn't just a sprout that happened in the air and landed in this vineyard. This tree, this fig tree, was purposefully planted. We think about us. We talked a little bit this morning about how we are a chosen generation and how God chose a plan to redeem mankind. And when we follow that plan, he calls us his own. We are part of his family. We have been planted in his family. And it does not come without responsibility. The tree wasn't an accident. It was planted. We didn't become Christians by accident. Do you realize that? If you call yourself a Christian tonight, there has been a planning that took place. At some point in your life, you realized you needed a Savior. Now, you might have sought out your mom and dad for more information, the preacher, an elder, a friend, whoever you went to. But you sought out information to get your life right with God. And you purposefully made that confession that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And somebody purposefully put you underneath the water that you can have your conscience wiped clean and free. You came into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. All of that was by purpose. Last time I checked, somebody didn't fall into the baptistry and become a Christian. It was done purposefully. And God himself planted you in his family. The parable teaches us, as I've already mentioned several times, it became unproductive. It's not because the ground was not a productive place for this tree to be planted. All practical purpose, the perfect place for this to be planted. The best of soils. But yet, it did not produce. What about us today? What about us today? In light of what Brother Kevin said and taught us last week, God is patient with us. Patience sometimes has more, not sometimes, all the time, has more patience than I would probably have if I had done the same thing with my son. God demonstrates patience. Maybe it is that you as a Christian, you haven't been growing as you ought to. Maybe you've not been loving the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Maybe it is that God has purposed that he will give you one more week to get that right with him. Maybe it is a year. Maybe it's less. But the time that you have is because God is allowing you to have this time. Now, what will you do with that time? I can imagine as this man goes into the field and he is concerned about this tree, this vineyard. You can almost feel between the lines and see this man going over and talking. Please, please, I've given you all you need. Grow. The last thing I want is for you to be cut down. Grow, grow, grow. Same thing could be said about us when God blesses us on a daily basis. The food that we have, the jobs that we have, the family, nature, as often the Evans pray that they're thankful for, all the different things that God blesses us. He gives us all that we need to grow spiritually. What are we doing with that? Maybe make it a little personal. What are you doing with that? You see, God's vineyard didn't just happen accidentally. If we're not in God's vineyard, it's because we purpose not to be. If we're in God's vineyard, then we purposed to be. And there's a bunch of verses that we can turn to illustrate this point and this principle to us. We have been nourished. We have been given inexpressible and indescribable blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 would teach us that. We've been called out of this world as 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 would teach us. We've been called out of this world into this most wonderful relationship with our Father. It is a blessed privilege, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. And as John chapter 4 would teach us, this choice that we made to become a child of God comes with unspeakable privileges. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, it's a verse that we often read. What's it say? God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. One of the things that I've come to appreciate over the years, and my view has changed drastically through study and maturity. I used to think that this was the idea of worship was something that God granted to His children, and I almost looked at worship service as something that was just to be expected. Almost like the attitude that we have today in society that it's just, I don't have to do anything, it's entitlement. It's something that I'm entitled to. If we learn nothing else from John chapter 4 and verse 24, we need to realize this. It's a privilege to come before our God and worship Him. It's a privilege to be called a child of God. It's a privilege for Him to add us to His family. It's a privilege for Him to adopt us into His family. Didn't do anything to deserve it or earn it. But He is gracious and merciful to us. And with this privilege comes the richest of promises. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. We just sang about this thought a moment ago. When we've gone the last mile of the way, for the child of God, there is more that's waiting for us. Life isn't about just this. But we can't eliminate just this. What are we doing with the time that God has blessed us with? Have we purposefully put before ourselves that we will grow? That we will grow as God wants us to grow. There are certain things. The last time I presented this, we changed this up just a little bit. But the fruits the Father expects from us. If you are a child of God, if you claim to be a child of God, there's more than just claiming. There must be action that follows suit. When one looks at us, what do they see in us? You see, God expected the Jews to be holy. That's nothing new. We look at our text for just a moment. Go back and look at Luke chapter 13 for just a second. Luke chapter 13, and let's back up just a couple of verses here. Luke chapter 13, and look at the verses here in verses 4 and 5. It says this, "Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." You know, there are happenstances that happen to us all. There are things that happen to us just by coincidence. It just happens. We can't explain it. It just happens. This is one of those occasions here. But don't for a second think that just because we're called Christians that we're greater than others. Understand that there is a life that is to be lived by one who calls himself a Christian. Just like there was a life to be lived by those who were Jews. God expected the Jews to be holy. He expects us as children of God to be holy as well. So think about that. How are you doing with that in your life up till this point? Did you set for yourselves at the start of this year, I know I did, to grow my faith? To be more dedicated to the work of God than I have in times past? Have I committed myself to being holy as I ought to? God expects it out of His children. He has great expectations for each and every one of us, and He is disappointed. Will He be disappointed as He examines us? I tell you, Todd's thought process with his lesson at the beginning of the year is rich. Go back and see where you're at.
Compare where you're at now to where you began. And if there are no improvements that have been made over these last several months, guess what you need to do? Get to work. Get to work. Excel in those things. As I mentioned in the beginning of the lesson, sometimes when we go back and reflect, maybe that's why we don't want to at times, maybe we'll realize that we're not where we want to be or where we should be. I know that's one of the things that keeps me sometimes from self-examination. I'm afraid of what I might see. But I'll tell you what, if we're doing all that we can for the Lord, we welcome this self-examination. We look forward to it because it teaches us where we need to improve, where we've done well, where we need to improve, where we need to spend more effort and more energy in. You see, that's one of the valuable lessons that we find given to us when we evaluate this parable in Luke chapter 13. Is he disappointed as he examines us? Or is he overcome with joy because we're growing as we ought to? You know, in that parable, we don't read much about the other vines or the other trees that are listed there. And I believe it's for a reason. They're doing what they should be doing. We don't read about other vines in the vineyard that weren't growing as they ought to, other trees that were purposefully planted that weren't doing as they ought to. I assume by him talking about this one that all the other ones were doing what they ought to do. Am I one of the good, one of the ones that realize the blessings that come from God and use my life to glorify him, or am I the other? The sentence was just and fair. We think about the statement that's made. The master comes, he sees this tree, it's not doing as it ought to. Get it out of here. Don't let it suck the nutrients out of the ground. Remove it. Would that be fair or just? Absolutely. It was planted for a purpose, right? And the purpose wasn't being fulfilled. So get it up out of there. Get another tree that's going to do what I expect it to do. I'll tell you what. I've got about 15 fruit trees that I've planted on my property. Do you know what I recently did? I went out there and looked at them. And to my surprise, each and every one of those fruit trees has blooms on them. I expected that this year I would be digging fruit trees up and replanting. I'm grateful for that. But I'll tell you what, I planted an apple tree in the ground expecting that someday I'll be having apple pie. I expected Sunday I'll be able to drive the kids around in this group on a tractor and stop and eat an apple. I expect that. That's what I planted. That's what I expected. And I'll tell you what, in a year or two, if it's not growing as it ought to, if it begins to die, guess what will happen? I'll dig it up and another one will be planted in its place. Does that seem harsh? No. That's what I expect. I expect the apple trees to produce. And so it is with this master who came and evaluated his crop. The sentence was not made without due consideration. The reason for the order, why does it use up the ground? And the request of the vine dresser, give it one more year. Brethren, don't get discouraged as you evaluate what you set out to do at the first of the year. Maybe it's to conquer your weight loss. Maybe there are more serious and more meatier matters that are in and on you right now. Maybe it's growing your faith as you should. Don't become overwhelmed and give up because you're not where you wanted to be here and now. But put your work gloves on and get busy. It may be our last year, month, week, day, or hour. It might be. I'm not a prophet. I don't know how long I have. I don't know how long you have. But I will suggest to you that there are opportunities that you have here and now. Psalm 1 and verse 2 would teach us the importance of God's Word. Read more. Meditate more. Study upon God's Word more. Pray and have family worship together. Start spending time on what's valuable and start building up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
Spend time talking with your children as we talked about and began our series of lessons on the home this morning. Re-emphasize and building those walls around your family to keep the devil out. And spend time growing your family closer to the Lord. Determine to teach a specific person this year. Maybe not necessarily by your mouth, but be determined this year that there'll be a Bible study that will happen in your home at some time this year. And somebody will become a child of God because of your efforts in opening the door to Jesus Christ in somebody's life. Brethren, if you don't set those goals will never happen. Commit yourself this year to having me, somebody else, or yourselves to conduct a Bible study with somebody in your neighborhood. God expects us as a collective body and also as an individual to share the gospel. Help somebody see the light. And this year, I know I just set out to do that this year. Appreciate the brethren even more. You see, those are opportunities we have here and now. We might talk about your 5-year goal from now, where you want to be 5 years and 10 years and 20 years from now. But let's face it, you might not be here 5 years. You might not be here 10 years. I hope you are. I hope I am. But we don't know. But you have this time, the here and now. What will you do with it? Whether it be attendance, whether it be spiritual, whatever it might be, brethren, commit yourself to stretching yourself and pushing yourself further than you've gone before. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And if we do this, God's going to look favorably upon us. It's when we start giving half or 3/4 that we find ourselves in trouble. And again, may I emphasize it again, your best might not be as great as somebody else's. It might be more than somebody else, but don't be concerned with somebody else. Be concerned with you. Are you giving all? Commit yourself to that here and now and for the rest of your life. And I'll tell you, if we'll do that as children of God, we'll never be sorry for the life that we've lived. Are you here tonight and not a child of God? I humbly ask of you to become one. Not just because I want that, but the Lord's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. The Lord wants that with you. He wants to be in a relationship with you tonight. A good relationship. A sound relationship. And that comes from you making the good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. By you making a plan in your mind that today is a day I start serving the Lord with all my heart. And then following through with actions and being baptized. I hope and pray that you'll do that tonight. If you're a Christian and you've not been giving all, dear brother, dear sister in Christ, now is the time to get that right with your God. And you can do that in a private way. Ask God for forgiveness and know assuredly that He'll forgive you tonight. We don't have to beg our God, this merciful God whom we serve, who loves us so very much that He sent His Son to this earth. We do not have to beg this God, but we must ask. And I pray that you'll do that tonight. If you'd like us to pray with you tonight, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we will do so with tender and humble hearts. As I've said this so many times before, knowing ourselves that we've fallen short at times in our life as well. God beckons you tonight. What will you do with this opportunity? As we stand, and as we sing.